Now, welcome back to the Hoop Central podcast. It is your host, Nakeem. Alongside me is my other co-host, Malik M3. Malik, how are we doing today?
I'm doing okay. I'm doing well, bro. How are you?
I'm doing great. We are fresh off the All-Star weekend, so we have a lot of things to talk about. But for those who are unaware of what the Hoop Central podcast is, we are a podcast to discuss everything hoops, basketball, NBA, college ball, G League. But as of right now, obviously the main topic is the All-Star game, so that's what this episode is going to be covering. But you are in the perfect place for everything basketball. Now, Malik, before we even get into the All-Star weekend, because there is a lot of things to talk about, why don't you give us a little brief rundown of what happened in the NBA leading up to the All-Star weekend? Because a lot of people, there's some performances that kind of went under the radar.
Absolutely, absolutely. Through Monday through Thursday, there were still NBA games before the NBA took their All-Star break. They'll be back, I believe, on this coming Wednesday, March 10th.
Yeah.
So that'll be exciting. I guess we could talk about the Dallas Mavericks a little bit. Dallas Mavericks are on a bit of a come up right now. They have made the eighth seed at the moment, and they were 10th, I believe. Luka had quite the performance on Monday against the Magic. Every game counts right now for Dallas. They have to solidify their position, and I believe that they're going to do that. Luka nearly had a triple-double shooting. He had 33 points, 10 rebounds, and 9 assists, and he carried this team, and a lot of lingering injuries with Kristaps Porzingis. Hopefully he could get healthy. And Jalen Brunson is also stepping up quite a bit.
Big time, big time.
Tim Hardaway still has to find his consistency at range. Jason Richardson still trying to find his role offensively and defensively with combining minutes, sharing minutes with Tim Hardaway and Dwight Powell. So, Nakeem, what are your thoughts on the Dallas Mavericks? What do you think they have to do to solidify their position in the playoffs for the second half of the season? Do you think they could do this?
When you have Luka on your team, I think anything is possible because that's a generational player. And I put my money on someone like him being able to take you to the promised land, being the playoffs in their situation. They have had a disappointing season thus far, but there's a lot of things that contributed to it. Porzingis being in and out of the lineup. I think the trade for Josh Richardson did not work out the way they planned for it to work out so far, because you're giving up Seth Curry, who is an integral piece to your offense. But I feel like there's just so much things that the lack of the training camp kind of affected this team in a big way. As you can see, like, there's been times where they just haven't been on the same page, and it's just like lack of reps with each other. The team chemistry building just hasn't really been there. So going into the second half of the season, I expect the Dallas Mavericks to turn it up a little bit, especially with Luka being as willed as he is to win. I definitely see them being able to secure at least the eighth spot. So things are on the bright. They're on the horizon for the Mavericks for sure.
I 100% agree with you. Things are on the horizon, and I hope that I could see Dallas Mavericks in the playoffs, because you know, they put up a fight every time. And if you look at the Western Conference, and every matchup in the first round is going to be exciting. I wouldn't be surprised if each matchup would go 6 or 7 games already on the spot. Sure. Every team is capable of winning. So. And I think we should take a stance and go to the East. And Boston is doing the same thing as Dallas right now. They're on a run as well. I think they're on a 4 or 5 game winning streak. Mm-hmm. And is it safe to say that Kemba's back, because he dropped 25-4-6 against the Clippers, and he's averaging 22 points in his last 7 games right now? Is it safe to say that we've got him back?
I would say that the reason the Celtics are successful again is definitely due to Kemba playing better, because I was really critical on him in, I think, our first episode back, saying that he's been completely atrocious at the beginning of the season. And he has kind of flipped the script and the narrative on his play as of late, but I need to see a little bit more. Their bench sometimes is very disappointing unless they play the Raptors for some reason. Peyton Pritchard just likes to become the second coming of like Steve Nash or whatnot. Like, I don't understand it. And sorry for me using Steve Nash as a reference. He's like Vinny Johnson, the microwave. Like, he just comes in and just starts firing. And I'm like, bro, where is this against every other team? Sorry for my little rant there. But I think the Celtics, I also don't see them doing anything though. There's the lack of the presence of Gordon Hayward, like what he brought to the table, and them losing that is huge. And I think that now fans are starting to realize that he was the glue that kept that team together, because there's a lot of scorers on that team, but there's not a single like playmaker. Like they can make plays for themselves, but for others, there's not someone who can really make plays for someone else, in my true opinion. That's what I would have to say. But I like seeing the Celtics turn the tides a little bit.
But I think we're going to kick things towards All-Star break.
Oh my gosh, I got a Nikim, lot of things to say.
Nikim, I think you should start it off. What do you think about All-Star? Right, what do you think about All-Star weekend?
All right, hear me out. All-Star weekend this year was the worst All-Star weekend in NBA history. Now, I am not being overdramatic. I am not exaggerating. This was the most useless. Like, I don't understand why there was an All-Star weekend in the first place. And I really don't understand why the NBA kept pushing the narrative to make this a thing. Now, if we look at all the events that happened, you look at the skills challenge. Those were all players who were on the All-Star team. Three-point contest, all players on the All-Star team. Like, the only diversity there really was obviously Robert Covington being in the skills challenge and the dunk contest, which was one of the most boring dunk contests I've ever seen in my life. Like, just the fact that the people participating being Cassius Stanley, Obi Toppin, Anfernee Simons, I'm not taking anything away from them, but like the reactions to when they made a dunk was so nonchalant that it kind of like takes away from the excitement of the viewers. Cause like, dang, it was that easy for you to do that. Like, should I not get that hyped? And then you have like in prior years, Aaron Gordon does the dunk and he's like pointing up to the sky. Everyone's getting hyped. And also there not being that many fans in the attendance takes away the whole entire atmosphere of the All-Star game. I mean, the All-Star game is for the fans. And if you don't have fans in attendance, how can it still be the same thing? And for me personally, the most entertaining part of it was the three-point contest, because Stephen Curry just solidified and just showed why he's the greatest shooter of all time.
But, oh, man, Curry.
I just don't feel like confident in this All-Star weekend. I wasn't entertained by it. I missed having the Rising Stars challenge too. Like, I missed like that type of aspect to it. And because that wasn't there, it just didn't sit right with me to be an All-Star weekend. And then also, I'll finish off with this. The All-Star game itself just looked so dead. Like, the players, you could tell a lot of them were out of it. You know, they got kind of into it during the game, but like, the first like 5 minutes were so hard to watch with the amount of like mistakes and like just like the dead energy that I saw on the court. You know, like obviously players like Steph Curry making half court shots, Dame Lillard making half court shots kind of brought it to life a little bit. But imagine those plays happening with actual fans in attendance. I know there was 2,500, but like imagine if that place was packed with 20,000 fans and they make back to back half court shots. That stadium's going crazy. So for me, I just did not see the point of having an All-Star weekend. You could have just had the list up of the All-Stars, grant them their All-Star spots, and just call it a day. But for me personally, the All-Star weekend was a big, fat L.
Yeah, like what I could take away from the All-Star weekend is it was quite rushed. They had three or four events in one day instead of spreading it out over the weekend. I do appreciate the effort that many volunteers or many NBA officials, Adam Silver and his team, put to get this event together. I do appreciate that, even though some athletes did not agree in participating, especially LeBron. LeBron was very vocal about disagreeing with Adam Silver about participating. He did not want to go to All-Star Weekend. Nonetheless, it was a great effort to put in place. It did not work out. Like, in my opinion, it didn't work out as it was supposed to be. Like, the environment, the feel, the vibe a bit. I was doing my best to get into it, but I wasn't really feeling it. The dunk contest is way longer than that. And there's usually four participants. Yeah, and instead they had three, and there's usually three rounds because the process of elimination goes, they eliminate one person every round. So instead there was three people.
How does the last round only have one dunk? Like, that makes no sense to me. That's supposed to be usually like the two showdown. Dunks. Yeah. Like it, like I was like, wait, it's already over. Like Simon won like that.
And they did something different. They had, because it was only one dunk, they had, they're like, okay, choose one. They didn't even give them
choose. Yeah,
like,
choose a person.
Choose who you would rather have. But, man, it was very unique, very interesting to see. The format of the All-Star game was the same. I like a competitive All-Star game.
Yeah.
And it didn't feel like the players were really passionate to be there at all. Dame Lillard and Steph Curry did make me get like a smile a bit. I did a little laugh, a little smirk, but overall I would say it was okay. It was a bit disappointing in some aspects, but I think we could do way better. You know, there was COVID and the protocols and the rules and regulations that the NBA had to stay under, so I do understand that the effort that was put into this was was I respect it, but hopefully we could change the format, get back to normal. There was no celebrity game, and there was especially no Rising Stars game.
Yeah,
so we did miss out on those two. So it wasn't the full experience. Hopefully we get back to normal.
Yeah, for sure. And a couple more things to add. You mentioned COVID. Few players out due to COVID. Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons. So that was one thing that kind of hurt Team Durant and kind of made it really lopsided as it really was, you know, not even having Durant to play and whatnot. But also, one thing I just got to say before we move on, the jerseys were absolutely hideous, in my opinion. And I get it that the All-Star Weekend was supposed to be in Indiana this year, so that's why the jerseys looked the way they did. It kind of replicated the Indiana jerseys.
Ooh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was supposed to be in Indiana, but they moved it to Atlanta because of COVID. But the fact is that if you moved it to Atlanta, why would you keep the same jerseys? It's not that hard to create a new jersey, like a new jersey concept. And even Indiana is getting an All-Star Weekend like 2023. So the fact that you use these jerseys already when you could have used them in the years, it just didn't suit the event that you're doing. Like if it wasn't Indiana, it would make sense because it literally looked like a Pacers uniform, if we're being honest. But you know what? Segueing that into what we're about to talk away next, we talk about the Pacers uniform. Pacers player DeMontis Sabonis was able to win the Rising, not the Rising Stars, I should say, the Skills Challenge.
Skills.
Shout out to Sabonis, a big man who the big men have been killing that competition as of the recent years. And if we look at the rest of the events, you have Stephen Curry winning the 3-point contest, as we mentioned prior, and then Anfernee Simons winning the dunk contest. Now, Malik, briefly, what is your standout performance, whether that's the All-Star game as well? I should say Giannis won All-Star game MVP, the Kobe Bryant All-Star Game MVP, as we should say. But out of all the performances that you've seen on All-Star Weekend, which one was the one that stood out to you the most?
Man, that's tough. I got to start off with the 3-point contest. Mike Conley showed out.
Mike Conley showed out,
and he gave Steph maybe a tiny, like a little sweat from his forehead. Like, oh, I got to try right now.
I got to try, yeah.
Because he's on me right now. But Mike Conley, I did not expect him to make the final round, to be brutally honest. But I know he's a great player. He's a veteran. He's one of the most respected players in the NBA, one of the nicest.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just shows that it just shows his skill. It just shows why Utah is the best team in the league right now. Donovan Mitchell scored, dropped 22. He did decent as well. He actually exceeded my expectations.
Yeah, and he didn't even make the
finals.
Round. Yeah. Jason Tatum did really surprising for me in his first round too, 25 points. When you look at the Jazz, it's nice to see Mike Conley finally make an All-Star game, you know, for his career. He's actually the latest, I don't know how to phrase it, but like he's been 14 years into his career is actually the longest someone's went without being named to their first All-Star game once they were selected. So in that aspect, he is the oldest in that aspect. But just to say this, I wouldn't have put him in the All-Star game personally. I think in other years he was much deserving, but DeMar DeRozan, man, come on, DeMar DeRozan.
DeMar, and do you see the tweet? He's like, yeah, all you could tweet. Do is just laugh.
All you could do is just laugh. And for me personally, I got to say Mike Conley as well. He did surprise me, but then also Steph Curry. I think
we
think we forget how good of a shooter he really is sometimes.
Why am I surprised? I'm surprised like he hasn't done this, but this is him on a normal daily basis.
Exactly. I've seen him make 105 three-pointers in a row. Like I've seen him do these great things, but it's just like it gets breathtaking to see someone be able to shoot the ball that good. Like he made both of those Mountain Dew shots, which I think are a great addition to the 3-point contest. I think it provides more variety and it makes the shots more difficult because you go from shooting from a rack to going all the way back and then shooting a deep three and then, you know, transitioning kind of throws the shooter off. You have to make sure you're on your mental game is everything. But Steph Curry is absolutely amazing. I really just got to say that Steph Curry is amazing.
Yeah, and you know, in our first episode, I did have Golden State not making the playoffs. If Curry keeps performing like this,
oh my lord!
I really hope he proves me wrong.
I really hope so. We have yet to see if Steph can lead a team on his own. So this will be a great addition to the narrative of his career if he's able to lead the Golden State Warriors to a playoff spot. And they're right there; they're in contention, so anything is possible. They got James Wiseman back, so you know, second half for them is going to be huge. Now, Malik, we really didn't talk about the dunk contest, so I want you to briefly touch upon that because that's usually the highlight of All-Star Weekend, but yet we didn't mention anything about the dunk contestants. We didn't say anything about our favorite dunks. Now,
No.
Malik, did anyone stand out for you? Did anyone show out for you? Or was it just a complete and utter dud?
The reason I didn't mention the dunk contest first is because it was the least appealing contest, in my opinion.
Really? It really
and
was.
I hate to say that. I really, okay, for the first dunk, I really like Cassius Stanley's dunk. I feel like it deserved a bit. I feel like I got robbed in Shouldn't the first one. That's and he did it. He did it one shot, too. I'm like, this is good. I even stood up. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, okay, prove me wrong this year. Prove me wrong this year. That's how I thought. And then you could tell that messed up his mental after he got that score, because his second dunk just wasn't. It was just in his head, and he just jumped high and dunked it. One thing I didn't like about Anfernee Simons' dunks is that he has freakish athletic bounce. Like,
especially in his first dunk, I didn't know he could. I didn't jump that high. That was an impressive dunk.
It was, so. But the thing is, like, he just jumped really high. Like, he didn't really do anything like extravagant. Obi Toppin had a really good dunk. I liked his. I liked his the bounce and then catching it through the leg. That is highly difficult for those just watching and can't dunk. I can't dunk, but I know it's difficult. But it's just that, yeah, it was just lacking something. There wasn't that, like, charisma, that enthusiasm. Like, imagine if Zion was in there. That kind of sort of been 10 times better.
I know. If they had four people, I think it would have been amazing. But, like, the ambiance.
Ambiance. Whoa.
The ambiance of going French. The pronunciation. But the environment in the arena was not there due to the crowd not being there as well. Exactly. Like, usually when an athlete misses a couple of dunks, the crowd is hyping them up and they're like, okay. And then the energy is going and everyone's cheering them on. Let's go. Let's get this final dunk. And then when they get it, it's an amazing feeling. But there was really nothing and there was no energy. And to be honest, quite frankly, it looked like the players did not want to be there either.
Yeah,
it was just like, let's get this over with. Because Adam Silver's schedule in the second half is crazy. Devin Booker couldn't even play because the team and the personnel was like, we'd rather rest Booker.
Yeah, rather rest
it
wasn't, Booker.
It's a minor injury in Booker's knee. That's why he didn't play the All-Star. Yeah. But the schedules are so brutal that Booker couldn't even play the All-Star. He actually had to rest because there's so many back-to-back games. And Adam Silver just squeezing everything in the 72-game season. And then there's the playoffs. These players are tired. What was your biggest surprise in the All-Star game?
Biggest surprise in the All-Star game. Ooh. That's a tough question. I'd have to say Kyrie's seriousness. Every time I've seen him play,
right?
He looks so serious. Like he was treating like the NBA finals. Like, he had no emotion, like he was not smiling. I don't know if that was him just like proving a point or making a message that, hey, I don't want to be here. Like, this is completely useless. But he was like, instead of like going for a flashy move, like LeBron would bring the ball out and like try to get something flashy for someone to make it exciting, right? But like Kyrie would just go for a regular layup. Like, he really did not care. So like, that was really surprising to me to see him play like that. Cause like the Kyrie back that won the All-Star MVP a few years ago, he would never have done that. So you can see that like his growth in certain aspects have changed him. In that sense. So that was just really surprising to me.
Totally agree with Kyrie. And the leadership that he takes on off the court with the Brooklyn Nets is just going to get them farther. So I can't wait to see what he does in the regular season. My biggest surprise, I have a really risky one, but this is mine because I'm really, really proud of him.
Okay.
It's Jaylen Brown, man.
Ooh, I like that.
He showed out 22 points, 5 threes. He shot 66% off the bench. I did not expect him to get a lot of minutes, but man, he did amazing. And I'm proud of Jaylen Brown. He's my favorite player in Boston right now. And, you know, Robert Williams is there too. They're tied.
To shout out his boy, Robert Williams.
They're tied. Start Robert Boston.
Oh my gosh.
But Robert.
Not getting on that topic right now.
But just quickly, Jaylen Brown, he's so young and has so much potential. And he's just going to grow from here. And he's an all-around player and could do everything on the floor. He had that cool four-point play he did. And in the third quarter, Jaylen Brown scored, I don't know, three field goals in a row. Just ran that third quarter. But, man, that's Jaylen Brown. Nakeem, go ahead.
That's Jaylen Brown had a great game. He even had this one possession where Jason Tatum was guarding him, and it kind of looked nice to just to see the two Boston guys guarding each other. So I like how the NBA has involved that, where like players from the same team aren't necessarily on the same team in the All-Star game. They could be against each other, which I like. But that puts us into our next segment. As I mentioned earlier, we've been doing these games at the end of the podcast to make things competitive. We know what happened last week. What happened? Malik lost to me. I've got 1 point on the board for the month. You know, who really doubted that I would have won? You know, like, I wouldn't even get into that, because you can see Malik, he's trying to dodge it. But hey, this is another chance for him to redeem himself. This is some All-Star Weekend themed trivia. Now, the rules are self-explanatory. Questions going to be asked. One answer only. If you get it wrong, on to the next one. Each question right is 1 point. The person with the most at the end wins. Now, Malik, are you ready to get started?
I am ready. How much time is on the clock?
We've got 20 seconds to get these questions right. Woo! And if you don't within that time, you get it wrong.
Man, let's do it.
All right. So it's only right. I think I should start things off since I brought this topic on. So, Malik, I'm going to ask you the first question. Are you ready?
I'm ready. No, all right. I'm ready.
Okay. So we've got a little bit trivia with players. Okay. So out of these players, which one was able to make an All-Star game in their career? We have A, Devin Harris, B, Rod Strickland, C, Richard Jefferson, or D, Marcus Camby. Timer starts now.
Rod Strickland, eliminated. Marcus Camby, eliminated. What was the first option again?
Devin Harris.
Devin Harris, Richard Jefferson. I'm going A, Devin Harris.
A, Devin Harris. That is correct. Malik is on the board with one. Way better start than we've seen last week. So he's already coming out guns a blazing.
I think it's time for Nakeem to just end me. So I think I got two out of this guy's going to get 4 out of 3, even though there's only 3 questions.
I am ready for this.
Okay, I'm gonna start the clock. So let me know when you're ready. Are you ready?
Let me just... I am ready.
What year was the first NBA All-Star game played, Nakeem?
Golly,
bro. 1946, 1951, 1954, 1960. Your clock starts now.
1960.
Quick one. Maybe, but
no,
it's wrong.
No.
The first NBA All-Star game was played in 1951.
Okay. Well, my second option was going to be 54. Oh, I want my gut instinct. Question number two, Malik. Who has the most steals in a game in All-Star game history?
Uh-oh.
So the answer is 8. That's the steals that were made in the game, but I'm going to give you the list of the players. All right. We have A, Larry Bird, B, Kobe Bryant, C, Rick Barry, or D, Isaiah Thomas.
Timer. That's a really tough one.
Timer starts now.
Any of them could do this. Frick. Dad, I want to say Isaiah Thomas so bad, but that might be the most obvious choice. Kobe has had the most All-Star selections, so he could be there too. Rick Barry's amazing. I'm scratching him out. What was the first option again?
Larry Bird. You have...
I'm going to scratch Larry Bird.
You have 5 seconds. 5, 4, 3.
Kobe.
2. Kobe is your answer, and that is incorrect.
Oh, no! I should have went with IT.
The answer was Rick Barry with 8 steals. Now, Kobe does have the most steals all time in, like, everything with, like, over 300 steals, but Rick Barry, he's got the most in a game.
Here's your second question.
The suspense.
You might know this one. Who is the only player ever to win 3 slam dunk contests? Number 1, Dominique Wilkins. Number 2, Michael Jordan. Number 3, Jason Richardson. Number 4, Nate Robinson. Your time starts now.
Nate Robinson.
And your answer is Correct.
Yes. Yes. I'm still in it. So that leads us to the last question. Malik is 1 for 2. This one might be the deciding choice. Now we have, I'm not going to ask you who scored the most, but I'm going to ask you what is the most points ever in a single All-Star game. So the options are A, 48, B, 52, C, 57, or D, 45. Timer starts now.
This happened this decade, right?
So we have 48, 52, 57, and 45. You have 13 seconds left.
Okay.
5 seconds left.
52.
And that is correct. 52 is the right answer. That was scored by Anthony Davis.
Yeah, I actually I was gonna guess KD did it, but Anthony Davis did do it. I remember.
Anthony Davis did do it. And Malik, wow, I am impressed with this bounce back. He is not trying to go down with two back-to-back L's. I love it.
Who is the tallest player to win in the slam dunk contest? A, Gerald Green. B, Josh Smith. C, Larry Nets. D, Dwight Howard. Your time starts now.
Okay. I know who it's between. It's between...
You don't have to overthink this.
It's between Dwight Howard and Larry Nance. Now, I just need to know... I don't know which one's taller. I feel like the off the bat, I'm going to say Dwight. But then, did Larry Nance win it? I don't know. I think he did.
He did win. But they both won.
How much time is remaining?
You have 6 seconds.
Okay. I want to say Dwight, but I'm gonna say Larry Nance.
Your answer is incorrect.
No!
No! You had it.
No,
yeah, I overthought it.
What is thunk? Oh my gosh. See, my brain is on a madness.
I like that. You overthunk it.
Oh my gosh. So there you guys get it, folks.
That was a good one.
Malik decided that he brought his A game today, and he leaves today with the victory. Now, this month it is tied 1-1. Instead of me being 2-0, as
close.
I should have, but hey, you know what? You win some, you lose some. Okay? Now, I have no other words. You know what? Let me just end it off here. It's been your boy, Nikki.
For your boy, Malik. I'm scared for next week.
Hey, I am coming with a vengeance next week. I do not care. I am going to win. Anyways, thank you guys for tuning in to this episode of the Hoop Central Podcast. And we will see you guys in the next one next week.